My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
That was a shooting gallery up there.
I could hear the trembling in his voice.
She suffered a fairly severe beating. The video is pretty graphic.
Justice for us seems almost impossible.
It's not fun to watch somebody die, and they knew she was in mortal peril.
They have not asked the hard questions. Why was the Capitol intentionally unsecure that day?
The FBI had information about security concerns before January 6th.
They're out for blood, and they're getting it. They appear to be winning.
Were the actions of the Capitol Police out of line? Were there violations in use of force?
Now I describe it as an inside job.
I'm ready to do whatever God calls me.
There's an old Chinese saying my ancestors learned before the Communist Party took over our country. The family is the essential unit of human society, and that you must have honor and defend your family. But it's not always easy to do.
When the regime gives the order, you have to kill.
My heart was pounding. I felt my body bouncing and twisting on the floor. They put numbers on our shoulders, then separated us into rows of even and odd numbers. I was number 9. My brother, he is still in prison. And my sister, she was sent to a labor camp without a trial. But there's one piece of evidence they haven't been able to destroy yet. I left everything behind. If I can't expose what they did to us, then all of our suffering would be for nothing.
Welcome to Chosen Generation with your host, Pastor Greg Young.
But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should shew forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy.
And now, Chosen Generation, where no topic is off limits, and everything is filtered through biblical glasses. And now, here's your host, Pastor Greg.
And welcome to the program. Great to have you with me. Thanks so much for being here. I know you have a choice of where you can listen each and every day. And I thank you for keeping it tuned here to Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glasses. Well, if you missed any part of the first hour of our program, I already have actually up on the Rumble page, and you can go there through ChosenGenerationRadio.com. And then click on Show Archives, And from there, if you click on video and audio links for new shows, and then click on the Rumble link, which is Chosen Generation Radio Show at Rumble, you will get to our program. Dr. Karen Ehrenfeld was on with me, and we had some great conversation about what's going on in Israel. Just want to let you know, I have three interviews up with Dr. David Wormser live from Tel Aviv. And in one of those interviews, especially the prayer that I was doing, as I began to pray for him, the sirens went off and he literally had to run down the stairs into the bomb shelter as I was praying. I would encourage you, it's about a 21-minute segment, but it is a very intensive prayer against the darkness that is attacking the United States, against the darkness that is attacking Israel, speaking confusion into the camp of the enemy. It's a very comprehensive prayer. Encourage you to listen to that prayer. And then at the end is a prayer for salvation. So if you've got friends that are not saved, I'm telling you, we are at a time right now. You better get that right. You really, truly better get that right, because the acceleration and Islam and they believe that they are the agents to usher us into Armageddon. And at Mecca this year, there was a prophecy released that as of the 21st of December, between now and next April, next spring, they are supposed to bring the world into war and destroy infidels. They call it Saqqar, S-A-Q-A-R. Look it up. I intercepted a message from an imam on Facebook announcing it. And this is no joke. This is no joke. Now, we do not need to walk in fear. And that is, my next guest and I are going to talk about this, because we don't need to walk in fear. God's not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and love and a sound mind. But we've got to get to the revelation and the realization of how important and how critical it is at this time that we are engaged in activities that advance the kingdom of heaven, that we are leading people to Christ, and that we are not simply leading them to Christ, but we are arming them with the knowledge and the understanding of then who they are in Christ, so that they can become the agents of change. And it starts by wielding your sword of the Spirit. That's where it begins. It has to begin there. The disarming of principalities and powers. That is a critical role that we are to play. Ken, am I misspeaking in any of this, brother?
Actually, no. I think what you're bringing up reinforces what I've been saying for years, and that is that we are literally in the end time. In other words, the end times isn't out there someplace. Mm-hmm. We're actually in it, Greg. Yeah. And what you're talking about, the Saqqar, is what's going to fit in with Scripture. It's going to fit in with these last battles, these last day battles that we're a part of. And that's where we are. You know, I think a lot of people are hoping that we'll have a reset back to the way things have been. And I enjoyed John Eldridge's latest book, Resilient. If people haven't read that, I suggest that they buy a copy and read it now. because that's a big part of what he is communicating. He's recognizing we've had discussions about this, and he's seeing the great falling away. We're seeing the Word of God just actually getting to so many nations now to fulfill that part of the Word. We're just a couple years away from every language on the earth having the gospel in its own language, down to tribes of a couple thousand people. I mean, it's really remarkable what time we're at, Craig.
Yeah.
And the fear is that we won't get back to where we were, but things will not be the way they were. There is not going to be a reset of that nature. I don't think that's the truth. I don't even believe it is. Greg, I know it is. And if there's people who wish it would, I'd be at the front of the line. I would like nothing more than to see things back to the way they were. It isn't happening. We're looking at the economy. We're looking at the politics. We're looking at the wars. We're looking at all these things that are absolutely delineated in the Word of God.
Right.
Especially Matthew 23, 24, 25 in there. Oh, my gosh. The World Economic Forum wants to redo a major global reset with AI at the front, a new Bible translated with AI, and the Communist Party in China is rewriting the Bible. I mean, it's just astounding. You know, if people are paying any attention at all and going to any news other than the fake news, the major networks, if you're looking anywhere but that, you're going to recognize and hear things that you are not going to get on NBC Tonight or ABC News or CBS News or whatever. You're just not going to get it. It's because they don't want to report the truth. They'd rather keep us blind and naked like the Laodicean church has spoken of in the Word. And blind and naked and hungry.
Well, the delusion and the deception is incredibly intense, and it's all over the place too. I might add, I came on Saturday and then did a 2.5 hour interview with Dr. David Wormser live from Tel Aviv. But part of the reason I initially came on was because I was watching Real America and I was watching Steve Bannon. But Bannon came on and started bashing Netanyahu for having endorsed Biden without understanding why Netanyahu did that.
Yeah.
Netanyahu endorsed Biden. It wasn't an endorsement of Biden, nor was it even an agreement with the election. His message to Biden was, I'm not going to get involved in trying to change your country. You don't get involved with trying to change mine. That was the message. It wasn't, I agree with the election, or I don't think there was fraud, or I agree that it was, you do you, but stay out of here. Because I'll tell you, the first thing that Netanyahu tried to do, and they finally did it, was to take away the authority from the judiciary there in Israel. Because the judiciary in Israel for years had been pushing a leftist agenda. And any time that they tried to do anything that was righteous, the judiciary would say no and would stop it. And it was it's a big part of the reason why this whole thing that has happened because the judiciary was involved in giving away territory. They were involved in bringing in the enemy right into the middle of the country at the in the West Bank, surrounding Jerusalem with radicals. And they aren't radicals, by the way. I need to remember, you know, they're not. Look, Islam, the Islam's books, the Quran and the Hadith, and I ask you to go to my website right now. I brought forward again my friend Al-Rasuli, who recites the Quran specifically to describe in their own words what they're about. And they are about killing infidels. That's what they are about. Period, end of story. World domination.
That's why they've had the barbarism they have.
Yep.
And I find it most amazing, the front page of Fox News today talks about a majority of Democrats supporting what the Palestinians are doing.
Sure.
It's like, wow. I mean, if that happened to America, what would they do? Would they support our enemy in killing, destroying, kidnapping Americans?
But they support eugenics. No. They support genocide of babies. They support sodomy. They support they support mutilation of children. They support the destruction of the conscience of small children, and they support total immorality, total godless immorality. In fact, we know that in 2012, if they had had, you know, their the kind of their way, they specifically chose to remove God from their platform. That was literally remove God from their platform. They brought it back only because they realized that by doing that, the portion of their party that was asleep. And here's the thing. You know, and I heard somebody on one of the networks talking about, well, you can't, you know, I'm not going to let people attack Democrats. Folks, if they are a Democrat, then you've got to look at line item, the policy that they support. If you are a Republican, then you need to look at what does your party believe. I'm not talking about the deep state. I'm not talking about the actions that they take. I'm talking specifically about what's declared in the party platform. That's one of the fights that we have here in Texas, Ken. We have a party platform that is Christian based. It is very biblical in what it has to say. The problem isn't the platform. The problem is the people that don't carry it out. They get elected to do it and then don't do it. That's the issue. The Democrat Party's platform is pro-murder babies.
Yeah. Yep.
It's sodomy. It's sodomized children. It's teach sodomy in school. It's disarm Americans. It's no private business. It's everything belongs to the government. It's a Communist Party manifesto. That's the Democrat Party, and it is evil. It's anti-God, anti-American, anti-Constitution.
Yep. And part of the battle we've had regarding the Speaker of the House and everything is we have RINO, Republicans in name only, in Congress, who actually are supporting a lot of what we're calling the Democrat platform. And they're not having the backbone and the courage to stand up against evil. Well, when you consider, according to George Barna, 4% of Americans have a biblical worldview, only single digit 9% of believers, followers of Christ do. That tells you just how much the frog has been cooked.
Can I? Okay, so you mentioned that the Democrats are 100% in support. This is out right now. I'm playing it. This is out right now. Israeli soldiers have discovered This is just disgusting. David, listen to this.
It's hard to even explain exactly just the mass casualties that happened right here. In fact, the Israeli military says they still don't have a clear number, but I'm talking to some of the soldiers, and they say what they've witnessed as they've been walking through these different houses, these different communities, babies, their heads cut off. That's what they said. Gunned down, families completely gunned down in their beds. You can see some of these soldiers right now comforting each other. Many of them reserves who jumped into action, leaving their own families behind as well, not knowing the sheer horror that they were about to come to. They say they've never experienced anything like this. This is nothing that anyone could have even imagined when you're walking through here. Baby cribs thrown to the side. Doors thrown wide open. Still some Israeli bodies still here because the fighting in this community just ended just recently. So many of these troops are still going house to house, door to door. It's taken them sometimes 30 minutes, 40 minutes, because many of these houses are also still have grenades in them, booby traps. In fact, as we're trying to get closer to some of these scenes, we're being told, no, get back from some of these Israeli military because there are still grenades in the area. I want us to keep walking through, continue to kind of see the destruction that's happening on the ground here. Even something as simple as a soccer net just left to the side here as people were with their families playing. I see in the distance more bodies being covered all the while as they're covering these Israeli bodies, trying to evacuate everyone else from the territory, taking all of the casualties out of here. It's also littered with the bodies of terrorists. So we're hearing from one of the lead commanders here. It was anywhere from maybe 70 armed terrorists who made their way here from the Gaza border fence, which is less than a quarter of a mile away. And as I said, the atrocities that they committed, violence with guns, with grenades, with knives, targeting these innocent civilians inside their homes. So for the soldiers here, it's a very, very difficult scene for them as well. As I said, leaving their families behind, but they say they will continue to be here, continue to kill every terrorist who is in the area. You can hear we're very, very close to the Gaza Strip, so we continue to hear artillery firing overhead as well. Even as we were giving this tour, we were told to get on the ground and take cover because you're so close to the Strip right now, you don't even get the red alert. You actually hear the boom before you're even told to get to the ground. So wow. This is the reality, and this is what all of these soldiers, you can see, none of them expecting this, but all of them being here, ready for the fight nonetheless, and proud to fight for their country is what I'm hearing as well. And so that's why they want to show the press. They want to show these very, very difficult images, David, but they want everyone out here because they want to see and show exactly what is happening here on the ground. David,
I mean, babies beheaded.
Decapitated, yeah. That's like, and who, what freedom-loving American could ever support that kind of behavior?
Exactly.
How could they?
Exactly.
And yet Governor Whitmer of Wisconsin, you probably read about it, she puts out a tweet and wouldn't even mention Israel by name, wouldn't discuss the terrorists. Even on a follow-up tweet, she wouldn't mention the terrorists. It's like, wow.
I'll have a guest on Thursday who was deplatformed for saying that terrorists attacked Israel. They were deplatformed for saying terrorists attacked Israel. I'll say it. Terrorists attacked Israel.
You think?
Wow.
Well, Greg, this shows how far the United States has transitioned to being Babylon instead of the country that God himself originally created to help spread the gospel and the good news throughout the earth, support missions, being that light in the world. We gave that up. And no matter what, The only one we should fear is have a healthy, reverential fear of God and to work at resetting Babylon. That's what the great reset should be. Resetting the Babylon we have become into becoming the nation once again that Father God established and his son.
Amen.
That's what we should want to do.
Well, you know,
that's what we should be praying for every single day.
Part
Lord
of the
God, help, yeah. help bring this about.
Part of the prayer that I prayed, Ken, was as I prayed that the terror of God would fill the hearts and minds of Biden, Kamala Harris, and the leadership so that they would fall to their knees and surrender their lives to Christ. But that literally, those words, the Holy Spirit gave me those words to pray as I was praying that the terror of God and the fear of the Lord would come upon them so strongly that they would fall to their knees and give their lives to Christ.
And this scripture says, pray for those who are in authority above you. He didn't say how to pray. He didn't say bless them, because then we're blessing evil. What we're doing, we are praying for them, but we're praying exactly what you stated, Greg. That's what our prayers are supposed to be for those who are in authority above us, and that they would stop listening to all the demons within their bodies, because these people are demon-possessed.
Yeah.
They're not in Christ. They're not demonized like most Christians. They are demon-possessed, which can only occur in those who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior.
Yeah.
That's what we're supposed to be praying for. I guess my prayer is that everybody watching, everyone listening to what we're saying, will actually do that today. They'll do it when this program ends. They will pray now instead of saying, yeah, I'll pray that, and then later on just forget all about it. They need to make a note and stick it on the refrigerator or something to remind themselves to pray that prayer every single day from now on. God has to know that we're serious and we do want to see America saved.
Amen. 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 I'm going to again refer you folks to go to the Rumble page, and seriously, it's called Spiritual Warfare for Israel and Salvation. It's about 21 minutes long, and I really strongly encourage you to share it. I encourage you to pray along with me as I pray. This was under the this is truly under the unctioning of the Holy Spirit. And again, it's called Spiritual Warfare Prayer for Israel and Salvation. And I'll you know, there's actually, if I'm not mistaken, I put it out as a post on my page. If you go to Pastor Greg Young, yeah, you'll see it. It says, put it out on October 8th. Please pray this prayer for Israel and pass it along. All right, I got to get Matt Long on because he's expecting me. I love you, Brother Ken. Thank you so much. FreedomEncounters.com. Every single believer, especially right now, we need to be armed up for spiritual warfare. I got to take a break. I'll be back with more coming up right after this brief break. Hi, this is Pastor Greg, and you're listening to Chosen Generation Radio. Get more at ChosenGenerationRadio.com. That's Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glass.
My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country. by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
Sexual predators and comprehensive sex education both break down inhibitions. That's what they start with. They also gain trust with the child and then slowly start to get them towards sexual activity.
Anything goes. You are teaching children adult child sex. You're teaching transgender issues. Children are moldable and influenced by that.
They said, okay, now we need you and your team to be able to explain what homosexuality is to a four-year-old student.
To introduce this kind of material at that age, frankly, it's child abuse.
You're going to teach our children that it's okay for any two children of any age, of any sex, to have sexual intercourse with each other as long as two components are present. One's using a condom and they both give consent. Did I hear that correctly?
It's not a neutral venue. There's no such thing. Okay, the schools are doing your job. They are discipling
Greg.
Your children.
And
but they're not discipling.
By the way,
you can support Chosen Generation and make a tax-deductible donation by visiting www.chosengenerationradio.com. And now, back to Chosen Generation with Pastor Greg.
And welcome back to Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glasses. And I am so pleased to be joined by my dear friend, Matt Long, the Matt Long Show and the Hill Country Patriot Radio. And Matt, it's great to have you with me. Welcome. Good to have you on board with Chosen Generation Radio today.
Always happy to be here with you on Tuesdays. And we're really looking forward to your insight on what's going on in Israel. Had a good visit with you last night, and we talked about some math toward the end of the program. So when we get there, we're gonna pull out the math. So let me know when you're ready to talk about that. So talk to us about your view on Israel. I understand you have some boots on the ground there, some people you've been talking about. So the floor is yours, Pastor Greg.
Thank you, Matt. Thank you so much. Well, let me first say that I am really heartbroken over what's taken place in Israel. It is not a major surprise. So let me give you some background. On Saturday, I was messaged by a good friend of mine, Dr. David Wormser. Dr. Wormser is actually in Tel Aviv right now. His son goes to school over there. And he literally had put his son on a plane to fly back here for his SATs just the day before this happened. At 6:30 a.m. on Saturday, Israel was attacked. Initially, their belief was this was just another one of those volleys of missiles. But it became very quickly apparent that that was not the case, because the number of missiles that was fired was in the neighborhood of 2,500 to 3,000 missiles right off the bat. Now, they do have what's called an Iron Dome system, but the Iron Dome system still has about a 95 to 96% success rate. So you're going to have missiles that are going to get through when they're sent. Normally, they would be seeing missiles sent in the maybe 50, maybe even barely 100 missiles. But to have thousands of missiles sent at a time really stresses the system. And obviously, you're going to have missiles that are going to fall and that are going to come through. The other thing the Iron Dome system does is it targets missiles that are headed towards specific targets. And if they're falling on a target that is not a high priority target, they will not necessarily hit that per se. And of course, they are protecting their civilian population, but they're also protecting their specific infrastructure. Now, one of the things and one of the reasons why, as I've talked to David over the course of the last couple of days, that there was such a failure, and a lot of people have asked, how in the world could Hamas have invaded so easily coming in? Couple of pieces of information also to add to this, in to bring context to it. Israel is only about 40 miles across. These terrorists were 18 to 20 miles inside the country. So to put that in perspective, it would be like we were invaded and there were terrorists that were carrying out attacks in Columbus, Ohio. Terrorists carrying out attacks in Nashville. Terrorists that the enemy would have invaded that far into our country, that they would have gotten all the way up into Colorado Springs, that here in Texas they would be going door to door in Dallas or Austin and pulling people out of their homes or killing people in their homes in bed. And today, just moments ago, soldiers discovered in a neighborhood that they went into that they were clearing out, that we have a brand new news report, there were 40, they found 40 babies decapitated. That's the barbarianism that we're talking about. And these, again, so people are saying, well, how in the world could they have gotten in? Let me give you some background, and this is part of what I was talking with Matt about yesterday. I'm going to give you three names. Arian Tabatabaya, Mahir Bitar, and Robert Malley. Robert Malley is a State Department special envoy to Iran, who had his security clearance suspended in April because he was alleged to be a part of a soft power influence operation created and managed by Tehran. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin was also then sent a demand letter because Arian Tabatabai is also a highly placed and prominent person. She is the Pentagon's Assistant Secretary for Defense. She works in the State Department. She was just featured in a news site's expose identifying her as being a key proponent and key involved in what's called Iran Experts Initiative. It was an effort to promote Tehran and Iran and the nuclear program. And then finally, Mahir Bitar. And Mahir Bitar was just appointed by Joe Biden, and he was elevated to a key position. He's the National Security Council intelligence officer over Iran.
Okay.
And he's the director of Israel and Palestinian affairs. So basically we have three individuals here appointed by Joe Biden who have direct access to intelligence information. What David said to me is that Israel's communication system is the most highly complex and encrypted security system in the world. The only one that even comes close is the United States. The only ones who have codes that could affect that system are members of the United States government, specifically the State Department and the intel community. And it was the Israeli communication system that went down when this attack happened, because they were left with the only ability for them to communicate with one another was literally cell phones. Their communication wow. system went down. In fact, David said that in Tel Aviv, they didn't even know that the terrorists were in country. and emergency units that were called. There are multiple stories where individuals in Israel around Gaza who were under direct attack and where they had come in and they were going home to home, they called the emergency services. They called the police. They called. Now, Israel, as I said, it's only 40 miles wide. The numbers of people that are generally on duty, the response time is usually anywhere from 1 to 3 minutes for emergency services. 6 hours after they had reached out for emergency services was just getting the message.
Wow. Wow. So take this, Pastor Greg. So you tie these in with Arian, and I couldn't write their last names down fast enough.
Sure.
Arian, Mahir, and Robert.
Yes.
Tie then this failure with those three who work in the State Department and are connected to Iran. What is your suspicion that what's your suspicion on this?
So my suspicion is, and sources that I've talked to believe that Robert Mowley, Mahir Batar, and Arian Tabatabai were likely engaged in espionage where they were giving over information to Iran, who then passed that information to Hamas, but that Iran would have been involved in a cyber operation to take down the Israeli communication system so that these terrorists could get through and get into the country and do exactly what they did, which was going door to door. All of the Israeli homes are built with shelters, or the majority of them, with safe rooms. A lot of people have asked the question, well, if they had safe rooms, how did the terrorists get to them? There was a woman that was on ABC yesterday, an Israeli woman who was explaining this. The safe rooms are made for to protect them from bombs, because they are constantly being bombarded with bombs out of Gaza by these terrorists. That's just a regular daily thing. The number of bombs is what's significant relative to this particular invasion, but then the physical invasion itself. So the rooms are not created to lock somebody out that comes into the home. There's no locks on the safe room doors, because that's not the thought process of the safe room. The safe room is a safe room that you go to because you're being bombed, not that you go to because somebody's coming into your home.
It sounds like tornado cellars that we have in the Midwest.
Yes.
In Tornado Alley. They're designed to protect you from a tornado, but the doors are always supposed to open to the inside on those, just in case anything lands on top of your cellar. You don't want to have your door not be able to open. And so tornado cellars are the same way. You would be able to get into one. They're designed to get into one
right
from the outside or get out, but they're not. But they will protect you from a tornado.
Right.
And that's I had not heard that angle of it. So let's talk a little bit. We got a couple of minutes left. I think a lot of people, when we hear this idea of 1,000 deaths, of course, 1,000. Listen, one death is one too many. 1,000 deaths is a lot. You know, there was an earthquake in, I think it was either Iran or Afghanistan. It killed, 3,000 or 4,000 people a couple of days ago. And we just kind of stumble over that number. You know, we don't think about it. It's like, oh, wow, yeah, well, they build crappy buildings in those countries. And so, 2,000 people died. But let's take a look at this number. The population of Israel is 10 million. I'm rounding it up to make the math easy. And by the way, homeschoolers, get ready. We're going to be solving for an unknown, all right? So here's what you do. You put 1,000 over 10 million. So we're going to have 1,000 divided by 10 million is equal to X over $340 million. Well, what is $340 million? And that is the population of the United States. So if we want to equivocate 1,000 deaths in Israel in a 48-hour period, what would that look like in the United States? Are you ready? That would look like 340,000
more,
deaths.
More.
And it's more.
No, let me. No. Let me tell you. So actually, it's 1,000 deaths is actually related to the Jewish population, which is only about 6 million.
So
the number is actually 1.66%. You round that up to 2%. 2% of the population was killed in roughly 36 hours. 2% of our population would be 7.2 million people died Saturday in America.
I'm gonna differ with your math. It's gonna be 720,000. It's still a huge number, but you moved your decimal place over one too many places. It's gonna be 720,000 deaths in one day. That's where 780,000. That is way too. That puts it in proportion. And how would we react if in 48 hours we had the equivalent of an entire medium-sized city killed by an outside invading force? How would we react? I think it would be all-out war. It would be all-out World War III. Is that what we're looking at now, Pastor Greg? And I know we're running out of time, but it looks like we've got Lebanon, possibly Syria, Iran. I don't believe personally that Egypt is involved in this, but that may change. Are we on our way to World War III?
Well, just to add to the Egypt situation, the issue with Egypt is that there are cells there, and there was an Israeli citizen that was murdered in Egypt on Saturday.
Oh, that's right. There were two of them along with their guide.
Yep. Exactly.
Killed by an Egyptian policeman, I believe, killed him.
Yeah, yeah, wow. Performing jihad. So, there's missiles that were already shot out of Lebanon. There have been missiles that have been shot out of Syria. And the other thing we need to understand, people need to understand where the West Bank is, because the West Bank is actually a part of Israel. And it actually surrounds Jerusalem, and it includes Hebron, Bethlehem, and Nablus. And those areas are mixed with these Hamas terrorists are all infiltrated into that area, and that's what they've been working to clear out as well, because that's a huge part of the problem that they've had. That's why they've had these terrorists on their street. Relative to World War III, the CCP, I had Nan Su on yesterday, are clearly involved in supporting Iran in this effort. Russia has stepped in. Putin has come in and joined with the Arab Leagues, demanding a quote-unquote two-state solution. There is no two-state solution. Look at how skinny Israel is to begin with. There's no room for a two-state solution. It would mean the end of Israel, because the goal of Hamas, and Hamas is the government that the people of Gaza elected. They elected Hamastan, the Hamas government, and the Hamas government's goal is the extermination. And let's not forget, as we just close, in New Mexico, you and I talked about this about, I don't know, 3 or 4 years ago, maybe longer ago than that. But they had a group there of jihadis that were training children to kill Americans under Islam. Do you remember that?
I do. I do vaguely remember that.
And so understand that that's what they do in Gaza and in these places. They are teaching their children from 4 years old, kill Jews. They're handing them toy guns. they're creating dolls, and they're having these kids shoot the dolls and stab the dolls and telling them those are Jews, you need to kill them, you need to exterminate them. So the children are being indoctrinated in this, and I get it. Oh, they're in there, but the problem is that they're not innocent when they've been trained to kill, and they're being trained to kill Jews and Christians.
Yeah. The scary world we live in, I think digging into Isaiah might be a good one today. Lots of talk about Israel and Jerusalem in Isaiah. Pastor Greg, we are way, way out of time.
Understood.
I really appreciate your input on this and your expertise and your boots on the ground. Thank you for sharing those guys with us.
Let me give you one last piece. Go to ChosenGenerationRadio.com. Look up Pray for Israel. There's a prayer that I prayed. I encourage you to pray it along because that's our greatest weapon. Our greatest weapon in this is to take authority over the darkness, Matt, in the name of Jesus Christ. God bless you.
Amen. All right. So there you go, folks.
All right. I'm just going to stay with you and just tell you, folks, I can't tell you how important it is to recognize the evil that is a part of this. And I didn't even get a chance to mention to Matt what was released by that imam on the Facebook page, but he said that there was I've looked it up. He said that there was he writes the prophecy out and he declares that they are going to institute a sakar. There is intel coming out of Israel from Mossad. There is intel coming out from a variety of different sources talking about their intentions. So, do we walk in fear? No, we do not walk in fear. We walk in the authority of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth that came in the flesh. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. We cannot be ignorant in believing that what's happened over there is somehow not coming here. And for many years now, I've talked about, you know, folks are like, well, you know, we'll be beamed out of here. We won't have to deal with any of this. None of this is going to come to us. We're not seeing that reality. Even in our inner cities in America, talk to some of the people that have been victims of violent crimes and ask them, and believers, ask them about not experiencing the violence. Now, obviously, they would wish that they didn't, but my point is that I believe that it is both arrogance and presumptuous for us to believe that while all of these places around the world, and let's not forget the persecution that continues to happen in Nigeria, the genocide that's happening there, let's not forget what's happened to the Armenian Christians in Syria losing their homes. Many of those individuals can trace their relations back nearly 1,000 years that their families have been, I mean, that's crazy, isn't it? But that their families have been in those areas for 1,000 years. And they can trace it back to grandfathers and great, 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 great relatives and say this, you know, we were here, we've been here 1,000 years, and now they're having to flee all of that because of, again, Azerbaijan and Islam. And so to assume that it's not coming here to America, that we're going to somehow be insulated from all of this when it's happening all around. Look what's happened in Canada. Look what's happened in England, what's happened in Europe, and even yesterday out in the Santa Monica Pier. There was a guy that got onto a Ferris wheel out there and claimed to be that he was going to be a suicide bomber. Now, I don't know if he was armed or not. The story doesn't indicate that. And understand that because of what we're facing and what's happened to our own government entities, whenever one of these terrorists does something, there's a suppression of the information. So I can't tell you for certain that the guy wasn't strapped with a bomb. What I can tell you is they got him down. It's altogether possible that he had something on him and it failed to work. That happens with these people. That happens a lot. But it also happens that the bombs go off. The point being that it's here already. And for us to assume that we are somehow going to escape it with no cause and effect, be ready. Be ready for supply chain breakdowns. Be ready for the potential of it. And you know, one of the messages that I've even seen coming out is, and this was something that was put out, Carmen Sabine put something out to this effect on Twitter, that a diplomat shared with him that if you're living in a big city, you need to think about where you can go temporarily and keep your eyes open. Again, God's not given us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. But he's also told us to be wise. And we have been warned, even in Matthew 24, that there would come that time when we would need to leave. And Jesus describes the leaving of the cities. So just please be aware, be alert. Take your authority. Pray this prayer. You can go to my Children Generation Radio page. It says, "Pray, please pray this prayer for Israel and pass it along." It is a warfare prayer that I prayed. I put it out on the air day before yesterday. I'll get it put out on the air again. But pray along with it to dismantle the principalities and the powers. Because truly, this is the battle that we are in. We are at war with a very evil, the prince of the power of the air, and it's important. I'm not suggesting, you know, physical violence. I'm suggesting spiritual warfare. But I am suggesting that you be prepared in your pantry and that you be prepared for this potential of possible invasion. All right. I'm your host, Pastor Greg. You're listening to Chosen Generation Radio. God bless you. Stay safe out there. I'll be back with you tomorrow. Texas Fully Loaded is coming up here on TECN TV. And you can catch more at ChosenGenerationRadio.com.